I mean from the bottom.
I'm overwhelmed at the goodness of the Lord. I mean that. I was thinking about it this afternoon, and I said, just in the last few months, I said, just watching what God's doing, my heart rejoices. I watch as Brother Matthew accepted his call into the ministry and preached his first sermon. I rejoice in that. I watched as the Lord filled Brother Neff with the Holy Ghost. I rejoice in that. I'm overwhelmed at the goodness of God tonight, folks. She was singing that song, I could never praise him enough. As was already stated, if all that he did was send his son to die on the cross, I'd have an eternity to praise him for that. But on top of that, I watch as the blessings of God are manifest in our life. And I feel the presence of God tonight. I ain't even got to work this up. It's already real tonight. I am grateful, a heart of gratitude tonight that the Lord looks down on us. We better appreciate this. You know, I'll say this as well. I appreciate having a pastor that's not a performance preacher. I know I'm not lifting him up on a pedestal. I'm just giving honor where honor's due for a moment because I'm thankful. I'm just telling you why I'm grateful tonight before we get into the Word. I'm thankful he opens this book because I know a lot of people, they like to move crowds and they like to get the pat on the back and say, that's a good sermon. I'm thankful we hear the Word of God. This morning, my heart was challenged. Oh, I need to be full of the Spirit of God. Now, me and Brother Derek, we have not talked. I didn't know, have no idea what he was preaching this morning. He had no idea what I had felt on my heart to preach tonight. But I almost backpedaled. I was like, well, some of the things are coinciding together. I assure you, we didn't talk. But I got something on my heart. And it's going to be a little more scripture reading probably than it is going to be theological discourse tonight. But I just want to share what's on my heart tonight. And if you got your Bibles tonight, Psalms chapter 42. We're going to read that entire chapter. It's only 11 verses long, but I just feel there's some language in here to share, and I know it's common language. I know you've heard these verses before, but it stood out in my heart about a week and a half ago. These verses just ran over in my mind. I put a place mark in my Bible and another place we're going to go in a little bit, and they've been running over in my heart. And then I was talking with Brother Jared yesterday. We had an opportunity to ride down to a wedding together, and we were talking about the goodness of the Lord, and I was telling him I had to preach tonight, and these verses were on my heart. And then our pastor got up this morning and he was talking about desiring of the Lord. And it reverberated in my spirit. And I want to just obey the Lord tonight and just ask him to help us. But Psalms 42 in verse 1, the Bible says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me, on a desire born in desperation. A desire born in desperation. Stretch forth your hand this way. Ask the Holy Ghost to move. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word, Lord. I ask tonight, Lord, that you take your divine word. You place it in my lips, Lord, and let me deliver it in the manner that'll be pleasing and it'll accomplish your will in this service, Lord. God, you know what you have designed to accomplish, Lord. And I ask, Lord, to that end that your word would be preached tonight, Lord. We've been challenged already, but God, once again, come by and challenge our hearts, Lord, to draw nigh unto you, Lord. And let us open up our desires so that we will seek after you as never before. And for that, we give you the praise, we give you the glory and the honor in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. As we look at Psalms chapter 42 tonight, we would note some things about it, and we're going to take our time and just hit a few verses here, and just, I really want to get us in the altars tonight. I mean that. I feel like that's what we need to do. People can say that they desire God, but I will tell you where desire is revealed is around the altar. It's revealed whether it's an altar in this church or it's an altar in your home. The desires of your heart are revealed when you bow your knees, or most of all, bow your heart before God, and you cry out to him from your innermost being. That is where the true desires are revealed, when we express in whatever language we are capable of the desires that lie within us for a holy God to move and to work in our presence. That is where our desires are revealed unto God. We can talk about it. We can reminisce about old times. We can tell of what we've seen God do in the past. But if we truly have a desire, we'll tell God about it. We'll let the God of heaven know, I desire to see you move again. This isn't just idle language. This isn't just something that I have done in my own imagination. But it is a cry of my heart that comes forth from my innermost being. And as the psalmist David cries out in these verses, my heart panteth after thee, O God. I'm thirsty, God, and I know that you're the only source of strength and help. And as I call out to you, I believe that you're still just and that your ears are still open, and that as I cry, you move to meet my need. Amen. Now you will know that this psalm is titled there. It was said for the sons of Korah there. And that I find that exciting. If you know who the sons of Korah were, you would understand that Korah was killed due to an act of his rebellion there in Numbers chapter 27. But in spite of that, for their father's rebellion, there was a seed that was preserved. There was somebody that had been saved back. They didn't suffer the same fate as Korah. And I've just got to believe that these young men, because of the fact however many generations they were removed, because there's a lot of speculation exactly when this was written, but nonetheless, however many generations they were removed, I believe that after they escaped by the divine providence of God, the wrath and the judgment of God, that they gave their lives to praise and glorify God. They gave themselves over to make known the praises of God. Because we'd find in other places when men and women rebelled, it wasn't just the father that was killed, it was the wife and the children. But for some reason, this remnant was preserved. And so we find them here. They're the ones that are going to sing this psalm. They're the ones that's going to sing this song. They're the ones that are going to testify about the grace of God and about a God who hears and answers prayer. Amen. There's seven of these psalms here, and we're only going to talk about the first one. done here in the book of Psalms. This was what we would call the second book here, and it is the first of the seven Psalms to the sons of Korah, or for the sons of Korah here. And although there's a lot of speculation, some wonder, did David write this? And others believe, was it written in the time of the exiles returning back into Israel? I believe it has David's fingerprints all over it. As I read about it, I hear the sweet psalmist as he speaks there. I correlate it to other psalms, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. I see David's fingerprints all over it. I can't divorce it from him. The authorship seems so much like David. And if you have other opinions, that's fine, but we're going to call it David's psalm tonight, if that's okay. And let's look into this. He says there in verse 1, let's look at David's desire there. He said, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Oh, this description here, you would understand, was of a deer that had been running for a long time. Most likely, if you were to see this deer, this hart here, its fur would be matted with sweat because it had ran, most likely being pursued by hunters, is the description that David was giving here. Oh, a deer that had been pursued by hunters, and it was longing after the water brook because that deer knew within its mind that if it could but get to the water brook, if it but could but get to the water, it could ease its thirst, but not only quench and ease its thirst, but also it could hide the scent from the pursuers. I will tell you this, if we're going to seek after God, we got to seek after God like somebody's chasing us tonight. Oh, it is a time of desperation. Oh, I've never seen such an hour. There is a deficiency of desperation in the church house. People come in nonchalantly, but can I remind you, the Bible tells us that we have an adversary as a roaring lion that is seeking whom he may devour. We are being pursued tonight, but I will tell you this, just because we are being pursued does not mean we are defeated. Just because we are being pursued does not mean that we are to be discouraged, because I will tell you this, there is a water fountain that springs forth. And all those that find it, they will find rest for their weary souls. There is a high tower that the righteous run into it, and they are safe. Oh, it is still the reality of God to call his people unto himself in the times of turmoil, in the times of desperation, and say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Oh, yeah. Imagine this deer as he would long after that water here. David says, this is what my soul does within me. It's panting within me. I mean, he's ever seen a dog get thirsty on a hot summer day? A dog will stick its tongue out and it'll begin to pant. And I'm not encouraging anybody to act like a dog, but I'm saying, would to God again, our desire would overcome us to where our desire leads into our actions. As I already said, the altar is where our desires are revealed. And if we have a heart that follows hard after God, it'll be revealed in the way that we worship. It'll be revealed in the way that we receive the word. It'll be revealed in the way that we fellowship and interact with others, because our heart cries out, I've got to have God. I've got to have him in my marriage. I've got to have him in my home life. I got to have him on the job. I got to have him in the morning time when I wake up. As an old song says, when I rise, give me Jesus. Oh, when I wake, I got to have the Lord by my side. Let it be the desires of our heart that cries out, oh God, I've got to have you above all else. Oh, I know this is elementary, but God help us. We see people, and would to God I've fallen in the trap myself, but we come in and the desire is gone. I'm thankful this morning the Lord moved. And that's why I was like, well, Lord, do I need to reiterate some of these things? But I just feel it in my heart to say it again. Oh, we come in and we feel like we're just here to fill a pew. We're not here to fill a pew. We're here on divine business. We're here to conduct divine business for God. We're here to worship Him. Our heart better be crying. Our soul better be longing. There ought to be something crying out within me. Give me the God of heaven. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. I've got to have Him, and in Him alone do I find my rest. Oh, he goes on in verse 2. He said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He said, Lord, I'm not in your presence right now, but I'm asking the question, when is the next time I'm going to feel the good grace of his presence? Oh, I understand. We've all got responsibilities, whatever they may be. They vary in this room. We got some that may be in school. We got others that have jobs. We have some that may be retired. But you have responsibilities of life that tie you down during certain portions of the day. But I will tell you this, during the midst of our responsibilities is our heart crying out, Lord, where are you at? I'm looking forward already to the next time I can get into your presence. That is what we call living in the presence of God. Oh, would to God again that we would live in his presence. Not just when we come to church. I remember a few years ago, I was on my way to a church service, or actually I was meditating because I had to preach that night at another church, and my mind was going over, and it just is real. I felt the Lord deal with me. He said there was a time when my people came to the house and they were already full, but now they can't come to be filled. Oh God, help us. It was a time that their desire was already full. They had already found God before they came to church, and it was already flowing out of them when they got there. But now we have a lot of people that come and they beg the preacher, fill me up. Oh, they beg God, fill me up in the services. But nonetheless, they don't get filled the rest of the week, and they're living, running on empty become Friday because they haven't sought the Lord like they should. Oh, would to God that we would wake and we would cry out, Lord, where are you at? I've got to have you right now in this moment. Oh, God, help us. Psalms 84, David said this. He said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. I tell you something. If you desire the Lord and his presence, you'll cry out for him. Oh, that word to cry out there, it doesn't just simply mean to mumble a prayer under your breath. It doesn't mean that David was sitting there trying to contain himself. It means to lose the constraints of personal imagination. It means to lay all of that aside. He was crying out from his innermost being, oh God, I've got to have you. He said, my heart cries out. Oh, there is a cry within me that cannot be satisfied by anything else but the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Let that cry ring from our hearts. Lord, I've got to have you. It's got to be you and you alone. David would cry in Psalm 63 and verse 1. He says, oh, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Oh, God, help us. I understand everybody's not a morning person. But I will tell you this, make it a priority, even if it's not as early as others, make it a priority to find God first. Make it a priority to seek Him first, because I can promise you, if you fail to seek Him first, you'll have a hard time finding Him the rest of the day. Your mind will become entangled. Your heart will become encumbered. All of these things will take place, and it'll be difficult for you to find the Lord later. Seek Him first. He said, oh God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He said, I'm in the middle of a wilderness, Lord. I'm in the middle of the barrenness and the dryness, but I've got to have you. Oh, let me tell you, if there's any under the sound of my voice that you're in a dry spot, oh, let your heart cry out. Let it cry out, oh God, but I don't feel the cry. Oh, cry until you feel it. It ain't about waiting till you feel it to cry it. It's crying it out till you feel it. Let it be an act of faith. Oh God, I've got to have you. Oh Lord. Brother Shane, I've sought for the Holy Ghost and I haven't received yet. Cry out, Lord, my soul longeth after thee. I've got to have you, Lord. All else fails me. I've come to church enough. I've sat in the pew long enough. I've conducted business as usual long enough. I've got to have you move. I desire this more than anything else. Oh. But then he goes on to say, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. I'm going to tell you something. I hope it's your desire. It's my desire. I want to see God's power and glory in this sanctuary. I do. Oh yeah, I've heard the stories. I've seen glimpses of God's power. I've seen him move. I've seen things that I consider miraculous and God moving. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to see it again. My heart cries out for it. I don't believe God's done. I don't believe just because we're facing some of the things that we're facing in this hour that God has wrung his hands and he's said, well, I got to find plan B. No, it is still the plan and the purpose of God for his glory to fill the sanctuary as our pastor talked about this morning. It's still the will of God for the glory to be real in our services, for us to worship under the power and the unction of God. Let it be once again that the glory of God settles in his house, that we can see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I like what Isaiah cried there after he saw that it was mentioned this morning. After all of that, the Lord touched his lips, or the angel touched his lips with the coals from off the altar, cleansed him and purged him. But you know what he said? He said, mine eyes have seen the King. Oh God, would to God we come in here and we leave the house and we would say spiritually, mine eyes have seen the King. I have seen his presence manifest in our midst today. Oh God, let it be. We can say we saw the King this morning. Oh, some of us can say we felt his presence, but would to God again tonight, let it be. We saw the King. We saw him for who he was. We experienced his presence. But we not only see his desire, but look at his dilemma. He says in verse 3, he said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Oh, there's a lot of people, as we understand, they think Pentecost is on its way out. We can formalize Pentecost and, well, you know, that was for them back then, but now we've learned how to be more civilized. We can program God and we can make it how we think it ought to be. And besides, we don't really see most of those things happen today anyway. Where is God? I hear the cry of the mockers as they say, where is it really at? Because, yeah, I've heard people talk about men and women of old that received and they were moved on and they had the unction. But where is it at today? I don't really see it anymore. I don't really experience it like they did. But I'm here to tell you, just because there may be some that say, where is he at? Doesn't mean he isn't here. It doesn't mean that he isn't real. And it does not mean that he isn't moving. God is still real. He's still here. And he's still moving. David said, when I remember these things, he said, I pour out my soul in me. What does he remember? He said, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He said, I remember the times when I entered into the sanctuary and I felt the presence of God. I entered in and I heard the word. I kept the holy days. I kept the ordinances that were required of me, and it was a joy unto me. He said, but now I look back on those, and most likely David is separated from the house of God here. Many believe this was during the time when he was exiled under the rule of Absalom, and he's not able to go into the house of God. He said, when I remember these things, when I remember what God does in his sanctuary, he said, I pour my soul out before him. Oh, I'm here to tell you, there's the key. If we want to see God move in our lives, we've got to pour our soul out before him. That idea to pour out there means to pour out as a glass of water, means to completely empty ourselves. How often is it when we get down to pray, do we pour out everything that is within us? Do we pour it out and we lay it at the feet of the Master and say, here it is, God. Here's everything that I am. I have nothing left. There's great truth in that hymn we sing, I surrender all. Oh, it's simple. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Oh, there's truth in that, that a lot of people never fully realize because they don't understand what it is to pour out their soul before God. But you know what my prayer is in this message and what I've been praying in my own life? God, whatever it takes, get me to the place that I get desperate enough to have a desire to see you. Get me desperate, God. I'm not just talking about an empty lip service that says, oh, when we sing, revive us again. Or when we cry out that, don't let it be a lie. Let it be a cry. Don't let it be something that I say and just through my lips, but let it be something that comes from my heart. Oh, revive us again, oh God. I desire to see it. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. Oh God, let it be. Let us pour out our souls before God. He goes on in verse 5 to say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I want you to look at that. He said, first of all, why art thou cast down? Oh, my soul. He's talking to his soul here. He said, why are you cast down? In other words, that word cast down means to bend or to bring down. It means to bring low. He said, Lord, I don't understand why I'm feeling the way that I feel. You know what the enemy of desire is? Despondency. Despondency is a disconnection between your feelings and your faith. Amen. It's a disconnection there. It's where we don't feel our faith, so therefore we find it hard to have faith. That's what despondency is. It's whenever there's a gap between what we believe to be true and what we know to be true. Oh, God, help us. I know I'm talking to us, and I might be teaching for a few moments here, but just listen to me. But you know what David begins to do? He begins to fight the despondency. There's some people that they'll seek after the things of God, and when God doesn't move like they want him to, they grow despondent because they say, God, I haven't seen what I thought that you were going to do. And you know what? Their soul becomes cast down in that. And you know what they begin to do? They begin to settle for less. I find it all the time when people seeking for the Holy Ghost. People get to seeking. And God doesn't fill them when they think that, oh, I've sought God. I prayed. I've done this, preacher. But you know what happens? There begins to be a wedge driven between them and the true desires of their heart. And eventually they accept the fact. And they say, well, or they accept what they think to be a fact that, oh, well, maybe it's just not for me. Cast down within me, oh, my soul. You know what he goes on to say? He said, why art thou disquieted within me? The word to be disquieted means to be troubled. It means to make a turmoil. In other words, it literally means to no longer be quiet or no longer be peaceful. You know what? How many people, They don't seek after the things that God has for them because there is a turmoil within them, because they don't feel like they're worthy enough. They don't feel like this is wrong or that's wrong. Or they just can't find the answer for it. So it swirls this storm inside of them because they don't know where to look for the right answer. And over they look inside of them and there's just this turmoil, raging storm, because they don't understand why when I cry out to God, He's not hearing my cry. But I want you to note something. Two things David does here. First of all, not only does he pour out his soul like a cup, but second of all, we already mentioned that, he begins to preach to himself. He says, "Hope thou in God." You listen to me. I don't care what you desire. If you're desiring revival for this church, don't grow despondent in it. Don't grow despairing in it. But rather, if you feel the pressure of the enemy that would say, "Well, you know, you'll never see it like you really want to see it," I'm here to tell you, preach to your soul and say, "Hope thou in God. I got a God that I can have hope in." If you're seeking for the Holy Ghost and you're wondering why you have yet to receive and you feel like you've sought and God just hasn't answered you, I will tell you this. Preach to yourself. You say, "What do you mean?" Begin to tell your soul, "If He has filled others, He will fill me too. God is faithful to do exactly what He said He would do. He is not a man that He can lie, but rather He will keep His word. He has always kept His word and He always will keep His word. Hope thou in God." Hope in God. I'm not telling you to hope in our pastor. I hope you have confidence in him, but that's not what I'm telling you to do. I'm not telling you to hope in me. I'm not telling you to hope in Glenn Jones, because I can tell you something about all three of us. We're all human, and maybe they don't fall as much as I do, but I still make mistakes. And I will tell you this, I'll let you down, but I can tell you one thing, God ain't gonna let you down. Put your hope in one who is faithful, because He has made a promise and He is faithful to keep His promises. There is nothing that He said He would do that He will fail to do if we meet the criteria of the promise. Where and why do we have this despondency? Why? Because we got hope in one who will do all things. Brother Derek mentioned Romans chapter 8. He said, if He will give His Son, how much more will He freely give us all things? Well, I don't know, Brother Shane, do you really believe that we can see a revival that'll wake up this community? I believe in God. If He'll give me His Son, He'll give me that revival. His Son was a whole lot bigger than that, a whole lot more important than a revival. But I'll tell you this, I believe He'll give it to you. You say, I don't know if He'll give me the Holy Ghost. If He gave you His Son, He'll give you the Holy Ghost. I promise you that. God's not a man that He can lie. He will back up His promises, and He has the power to do so. You know something? As I was reading over these verses a while back, something stood out in my mind, another story in the Bible, and I'm getting ready to close in a few moments because I want us to take some time and pray. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know what I find there? The Bible says that there is a woman and her name is Hannah. In verse 5, we could go there, and just to give you a little background, Hannah was the wife of a man who had two wives. And the Bible says this about her husband. It said, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." She was fearful. She was fretting. Her soul was disquieted within her. There was a tumult. There was a turmoil going on within Hannah here. The Bible goes on to say, in verse 7, "And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord," verse 6, "and her adversary also provoked her sore." Her adversary provoked her sore. I tell you this, if we're not careful, we'll let our emotions provoke us sore. Oh, yeah. We'll let our own personal mindsets provoke us sore. We'll let it remove from us and put out of distance the things that God has promised us. It'll look like to us the things that God has made promise and available unto us are so far away that we can't attain them. You know what? But you know what Hannah did? The Bible said that when she went to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her even there. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed and wept sore. Look what she did there. The Bible said that her desperation led to desire. She got desperate enough for a child that she began to desire one of the Lord. She had desired one of her husband for a long time. But I will tell you this, Hannah, you were looking in the wrong places, honey. It ain't your husband going to give you a son. It's the Lord that's going to do it. Let me tell somebody here tonight, and this is just something I want to share with you, and I'm going to move forward. It ain't who you think it is. It ain't somebody going to give it to you. It ain't a person that's going to give you what you're seeking after. It is the Lord. Stop looking in the wrong places. It is the Lord that gives the fullness. It is the Lord that blesses. It is the Lord that made the promise. So therefore, it is the Lord that will fulfill the promise. Amen. So then the Bible said, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, I will give him unto the Lord. I will stop there. We'll make one note. Note what she did with this desire. She said, Lord, if you fulfill this desire, I'll give it back to you. Oh my, I know I'm talking to you for a minute, but oh God, help us. If we desire something of the Lord, don't desire it for personal means and motives. Don't desire the Holy Ghost just so you can say you have the Holy Ghost. Don't desire the Holy Ghost just so you can say you spoke in tongues. You better desire it because it is of the Lord. And whenever you receive, you give it back to Him. Lord, I've got this desire for revival, but don't let the desire for revival in this church just be so that we can see these pews full, but rather let it be so that the glory of God can be proclaimed. Say, God, if you'll do this for me, I'll give it all back to you. With desire comes responsibility. And if our desires are godly, we will put our trust in the right places, not in ourselves. Moving forward here. And it came to pass, she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. You realize what agony of soul she is in here. She's crying out, but there's no words coming out. This is desperation. This is a heart that has grown completely desperate of God. Oh God, let it be once again when we go down to pray. Lord, maybe no words pass from our lips, but our soul is crying out, Lord, I've got to have you. I've got to have the God of heaven more than I need anything else, more than I need a promotion, more than I need greater gain. I've got to have the Lord. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul unto the Lord. What did David do? He poured out his soul. What did Hannah do? She poured out her soul. I'm talking about a desire that is born in desperation. One that is born when we come to the knowledge that we have no other means of getting to where we need to be but God. And Hannah answered and said, "No, Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial." What did they do on the day of Pentecost? They looked at them there. They said, "They're drunk with new wine." Oh, but Peter stood up. He said, "These are not drunk as you suppose." Hannah looked at him there. She said, he was thinking, "Oh, she's drunk. She's got to have taken some strong drink." "No, I'm not drunk. I'm just desirous of the Lord." "Oh, would to God they come in and maybe they would speculate we're drunk again." "No, we're not drunk. We just desire of the Lord. We have a hunger that has overwhelmed our soul. Our desire has put us to anguish. Let it be again, Lord." Final point I'm going to make here, and I've got a few scriptures I want to read, so just hold on for, give me about 10 more minutes and I'm going to be done. We're going to pray. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 17. "Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.' She said, 'Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight.' So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came into their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her." What was this? This was the birthplace of fresh desire. Something's getting ready to be birthed through Hannah's desire. Let me tell you something, Hannah, and I want to extend this out beyond Hannah. Not only is the desires of Hannah's heart going to be fulfilled, but the need in Israel is going to be met as well. Because the Bible will say in 1 Samuel chapter 2, "In a time when the word of the Lord was precious and there was no open vision, that there was a man by the name of Samuel, this man that was desired of the Lord, that was sought after in a sorrowful spirit. This man's going to be the prophet that stands up. He's going to proclaim the word of God when everybody else has lost their vision, when everybody else has turned aside, when everybody else has written off the countenance of God. Oh, there stands up a man with a word from heaven, and he says, 'The vision's not completely shut yet. The word of God is not closed yet, but rather there was a desire, and in that desire was birthed a vision, and through that vision came Samuel.'" Let me tell you something. When we get a desire in the right places, it ain't just going to affect us. It's going to affect others. Because you know what? God's going to open the vision. You say, "What do you mean, Brother Shane?" I mean this. Through the desires of our heart that are sought after through God, God will birth vision in our lives. Oh, it may not be right away. Whenever Samuel was still yet to be weaned and he was still a toddler, nobody knew what Samuel was going to be. But I'm going to tell you something. Every day I believe that Hannah saw him, she rejoiced because she said, "That is the child that I ask of the Lord. That is an answer to my prayer." But I'm going to tell you something, Hannah. It's not just an answer to your prayer, but it's also an answer for the prayers of Israel. I'm going to tell you, when we receive of the Lord, it's not just going to be an answer that we have petitioned of the Lord, but God will use the answer to our prayer to meet the needs of others, to bless others, to help others. Oh yes, I believe in the dividend blessings of God. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I don't believe you plant a seed and God will give you $1,000. I don't believe in that. But I will tell you something. If our soul cries out before God in honest sincerity, God not only will bless us through our desire, but he will bless others as well. Oh, God, help us. I hope I'm getting this across. But you know what? He goes on to say in Psalms 42, and skipping back, and I don't mean to just draw your mind back in, Psalms 42 and verse 11. He says this phrase one more time, verse 11, as he's closing Psalms 42, David here. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him." Let me tell you something. If you desire of the Lord, don't grow despondent just because he hasn't answered you yet, but rather praise him. You know what the word praise there means? It means to revere or worship with extended hands. Now, let me ask you something. If you're in a dark alley somewhere, and I hope you ain't got enough common sense to not walk in dark alleys alone, but if you ever had to, and you're walking in a dark alley, and somebody walked up behind you and stuck something into your back, what's the first thing you're probably going to do? You'll stick your hands up. Because you know what it is? It's the universal sign of surrender. In that case, you're surrendering because you don't really know what the individual is going to do. You know what David was saying? He wasn't surrendering because he didn't know what God was going to do. He was surrendering because he already knew what God was going to do. He said, I'm going to hope in God because I know that he hears my cry. What did he say? He said, so I'm going to go ahead and lift my hands and I'm going to give him praise because I believe that he not only hears me, but he's going to answer me. Oh, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're seeking something of the Lord, whatever it may be, why don't you just go ahead and raise your hands and say, praise the Lord, I believe the work's already done. Praise God, not only is he able, but he is willing. My sister Holly, if she would, to come to the piano. Isaiah 41. This is God's promise. It's to Israel, but we can take it to ourselves as well because the Lord says this. He said, when the poor and needy shall seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Notice what he says. He said, when the poor and needy. He didn't say the rich and full. As a matter of fact, he rebuked the church of Laodicea. He said, you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. He said, I really can't give nothing to you because you feel like you already have it all. There's an issue of being full of other things. He said, but when the poor and the needy. A lot of people don't like to associate with poor and needy. Not themselves anyway. They might like to feel charitable and go to other people that are poor and needy, but they don't like to call themselves poor and needy. But can I stand before you as the preacher tonight and tell you, I'm poor and needy. When it comes to the things of God, I'm poor and needy. I ain't rich and full. I don't have it all. I will tell you one thing. I'm striving to live full of the Holy Ghost, as was preached about this morning. But as I survey the wondrous grace of God and all the things that he has in store, I realize something, that I'm poor and needy. But you know what he said about the poor and needy? He said, when there is no water and they seek after it, he said, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them, and I will open rivers in high places. I don't know about you, I want the Lord to open up a river. Let it flow in my life, Lord. Let it flow in my life. I want God to open up a river and let it flow into your life and your life and your life. God, open up the river in our lives and let it flow again because we're poor and needy. There's a desire that's been birthed out of our desperation. Psalms 27 and verse 4, and I want you to go ahead and start standing all over the building. David says this, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Can I tell you something about your desire that's born in desperation? Let it be specific. Don't just go down and ramble for 45 minutes. Get to the point. I don't mean that to sound, to be irreverent to God. But we don't got to beat around the bush. If we're seeking for the Holy Ghost, we can tell him, Lord, I've come. This one thing have I desired, and I'm going to seek after it, and I'm not going to stop seeking, Lord, till you feel me. Can we take a personal time out in our own lives, every member of this church that desires to see God do greater things here? Can we say, Lord, I'm going to seek you for revival in this church? This one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that the Lord will send revival to Abundant Life Tabernacle, that his presence will be real. Can we devote a time to that? Is that all right? That one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Oh God, help us as we behold and we look. I've looked in my own life at times, and I've seen the deficiency of desire. I've seen it dwindle. I've watched it as there was no real specific things I could praise God, but there was no specific things my heart was longing after. Can I tell you something? The Lord challenged me in my own life. Always have a direction that you're going in. And by that I mean this. Have something you're seeking for. If you already have the Holy Ghost, ask God, what's the next step you want me to take so I can be more fruitful in your kingdom? Don't wander aimlessly just because you feel like, well, I've been saved, I've been sanctified, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't wander aimlessly just because of those things. Have a direction you're going in and say, Lord, this is what I desire. I need direction, or I need your help. I need boldness to witness. Whatever it may be, you could put whatever you want to put in that blank. But this one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I know this was a little different tonight. And I know we're coming down and everything's slowing down, but this is the way I want it to be tonight. I feel like this is what the Lord wants. Is there anybody here say, I want to be desperate for the things of God? I want to be desperate. Not just saying occasionally, well, I need the Lord. No, I want to be desperate. And in that desperation, I want my soul to cry out. If you've put your hope in God, you've put it in the right place. But if you've put it anywhere else, it's going to fail you. It will fail you, but God will not. Hope thou in God. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness. Thank you for your presence we feel in this place. I ask tonight that you take this message and you would instill it in our hearts. Let there be a desire birthed out of desperation. And let us cry out to thee and thee only that we've got to have you. Can we come all together corporately? I believe we all need something of the Lord. There's some who need the Holy Ghost. Come seeking tonight. But not only come seeking tonight, get up tomorrow and seek. Get up Tuesday morning and seek the Lord. Get up Wednesday morning and seek the Lord. Have you got something in your life that you desire God to do? Whatever it may be, can I challenge you to seek the Lord tonight? He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful if you'll seek him. Let's pray tonight, church.